So today is actually for the Thursday group is leading communion, and so the we'll be doing that after my talk, message, and mom from the Thursday group, I said my mom from the Thursday group says that she wants to give a Thanksgiving testimony, so we're going to invite her up first. So that's Jenny Chan, and please keep it to 1 to 2 minutes, mom.
Okay. Good morning, church. My name is Jenny Tan, mother of Julie and Angela, and Sunny Ng is my son-in-law, and Joshua Ng is my grandson. I come here just to thank God for His grace, His love, and also goodness and favor in our lives. In December 2016, Angela spoke to me, "Mom, I'm going to resign. In response to God's calling, I'm going to resign from my work, from my job computer developer and program developer, and going on full-time missionary." Yeah. So I think all the parents may know how I feel. I didn't know what to say to her. So, but God is amazing that later on, God, just a few days later, I got the peace from God. So to release Angela into the mission field and pray for her. And I think all this is the prayers from the various groups meeting, group of GI Hope, and also all your prayers as well. I thank God for that. Then I was really troubled and confused. I do not know what to tell Angela, but God is good. God give me the peace. So I just want to thank God for all His love for all of us here, and all His children. Then Angela, next week you will be leaving, going back to mission field. I just pray Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2, that God will bless you and anoint you to do the works for the Lord and to bless those people there, wherever. And also, and I also thank all of you for your love and for the prayer support, and some of you individual love gift for Angela to support her financial support for her and her ministry. I thank you very, very much. And I haven't given much time, so this is all that I can say. But God knows that I'm really in my heart, that I'm very thank God for all these years that He has been looking for after me and my children. And I thank God for all this. And Father God, I owe honor, power, and glory to our God, our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mom. Okay, I'll just give a very short update. So I've told you that I'll be going to the SOS, the AOG SOS, and that was in Maasin. So at the end of 4 weeks, we planted the church over there. And it was The moment we reached there, we were prayer walking. Then the next day, we just go and knock, divide into groups, knock on doors and offer to pray for them and then to start Bible studies, which we'll go back to do every day if they're available, that's provided. Then I went to Elijah House, which was really, really good. And I went to Singapore for restitution. And I went to YWAM ATC Antipolo, and they had what they call discipleship weeks, where it's just 1 week and people come along and they go through a mini kind of DTS. And it was really good to be able to see God transforming them. And also, I staff on one of the week. I was there for 3 weeks, but I staff on one a week and to see how, yeah, to experience how God can use me to also be a blessing in their lives. And I was very blessed by that. We witnessed many baptisms. Each week there was at least about 20 or so baptism from the students, like 10 to 20 between that. And I also, that 3 weeks, on the third week, there was also a mother's group baptism. So there's probably about 30-odd people getting baptized in my time there. Sunny, could you play the short video on Lagyo? Thanks. I thought instead of me speaking, we just play a short video. It's faster. Yeah. So there's one of Lagyo and one of Tacoban. Sure, thanks. Plucking fern for us, this kind of fern. Yeah,
our dinner tonight.
Oh yeah.
Fern for dinner.
Fern for dinner. Almost every single day, they were very hungry. So when we went back to the, that was where I planted a church there last week together with the DTS group. And while we were there, so I thought, okay, so they have Bible study every day. They tell me it's a different place. So I thought, okay, I'll prepare one or two Bible studies. That'll be enough because it'll be at different places. But when it has so happened that it's actually the same group of people that will come to the Bible, different Bible studies at different places every single day. When we do have a Bible study, they are very, very hungry for the Word of God. As I mentioned last year at Lagyo, they don't have any spiritual presence there at all in the past, other than the old cult. So no Catholic churches there either, and they're just really, really hungry for the Lord. And so we had Bible studies every day while we're there, and that is just the anniversary celebration. And while we were going to the anniversary celebrations, we saw some places with some smoke. So I asked, "Oh, what's that?" And they said those are tribal groups. So around that region, there's lots of tribal groups, so to say. So these people are not tribal at Lagyo. Tribal groups, when they say tribal, they mean the tribal. Some of them don't dress. They just walk around undressed kind of thing. That's what I was told. So, yeah, so there's lots of opportunities for further outreach in that region. Yep. I was asked to share a bit more about Elijah House. And I will be going back for part 2 and 3 of the Elijah House. And in part, what I found it was really beneficial for me, it went through things that, like what they call wrong beliefs, things that you may have believed because certain things people have done to you or told you since when you were young, and it formed certain belief about yourself and the way you relate to people. And because of things that may happen to you, you made inner vows, vows to say, I will not, for example, be like my father to abandon my family, or I will not marry a man like that. And in so doing, in an inner vow, because it's done out of a reaction to things that has happened to you, the inner vow itself is wrong, it's sin, because we're not getting the healing from God. And then actually it self-fulfills, means that some people that makes their inner vows either end up becoming the person that have hurt them that way, or they actually are drawn to people that have hurt them in the past. So it goes through things like breaking the inner vow, repenting over it, and so on. So those are just some of the topics covered in Elijah House Part 1. And I'm going back for Part 2 next Monday. So not tomorrow, but next Monday. And with restitution, I think I spoke to a few that been praying for me, and I thought I'll tell more. Basically, I went to Singapore. When I left, I said that I'll go to Singapore to meet up with my father for restitution. Restitution is where I have sinned against him because I do not consider him like a father. I'll treat it and care and love for him because of things that he has done to us as a family. I went to seek his forgiveness. And it was really good, not in the sense that, oh, he hugged or embraced me. He says, oh, it's okay. In the sense when I asked him for forgiveness, because being in a Chinese, in a meal, in our culture, you don't probably engage very emotionally conversation. You just try to brush off, it's okay, yes, it's fine, it doesn't matter. But the thing is that for me, it would be, because his birthday was in, while I was at Lagio. So, because down there, we have to walk a certain distance to go to have reception. And then, I don't know when the high tides are low tides, because sometimes my friend would go, even though it's high tide, and you have to walk in water and so on. So I didn't really bother going. But then, on my father's birthday, I said, this is the first time that I actually feel, I want to tell him that I love him. I want to tell him happy birthday. Because in the past, it's usually my mom says, it's your father's birthday, SMS him. Now, we're very reluctant, and in the end, I'll SMS him. But this time, I woke up thinking, yes, I want to go and wish my father's happy birthday. And I went with my friend to, but praise God, when I went, it wasn't high tide, so I don't have the better of the water to go to the place to just message him and say happy birthday. Yeah. So that was the healing that happened for me with restitution. And so I'll just go on. I also spent a fair bit of time in Tacloban, in the new communities. I felt that the Lord leading me there to see the situation there. The new communities is communities that the government has set up where they have encouraged people to move to after the high end. So it's not just government, some NGOs where they have built houses. And so they started to move some of these families that were living very close to the waters in the past to these new communities. But the thing is that it's very far and there's nothing there. There's a lot of them do travel back to the city to work. It takes about 45 minutes one way at least. And also the thing about it there is that there's no churches. Again, there's no churches. There's no cults yet. One is a bit further down. But yeah, there's no cults yet either. But when I was going to the new communities and doing Bible studies, there was one, the Jehovah's Witness also came knock on the door that we were doing Bible studies at. So yes, I felt a lot to say, to go before the cult hits them, kind of thing. Sunny, could you show, there's also a video on Tacloban, thanks. So while I was there, I spent some time with The Rock, preaching there, as well as on the Friday nights teaching on evangelism, because that's what they asked me to do. And I joined some people on their feeding programs. That was actually the vice mayor who was doing a feeding program in a remote community. So I joined him for that. I visited also somewhere which is about an hour away from Tacloban. And I invited YWAM to come and do one of the nights as well for the sharing. So you can see the, from the satellite, there's a few new, this is on the public transport, what they call a multi-cab. Someone had a verse, and that was the only, I've been on many multi-cabs, but that one had a verse on Romans 6:23, so I took a photo. Yeah. So this is one of the new communities called the GMA. There's about 2,000 or more houses around there. I met a pastora at a what do you call pastor's meeting, and then that's how I connected and joined her for the her Bible studies that she runs over there. Actually, no other ones are reaching out. No other pastors from Tacloban are reaching out to the new communities. Some time with the YWAMers fellowship, invited them over to the place I rented. This is one of another new community called Sophia. It's one of the, I know these people who run like a tutoring center, a free tutoring for kindergartens over there, as well as afternoon they do craft work. So I went to visit them. I prayed for this boy that was blind over there just now. And I also had a chance to go up to Plagam, where I also shared a message on a Sunday. Then we went to Devasoria, where we had a crusade there last year, where I prayed a walk from Plagam. And so now they have a small group started there after the crusade. So this is the small group we meet in somebody's house like that, and they just put up the things, they're singing. So thank you, Sanikin. Of that, that's the end of. Okay, today I'd like to share about encountering the forgiveness of the Father. So if you turn to Matthew chapter 18, it should be verse 21 to 35. Verse 21 to 35. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servant, and he had begun to settle accounts. One was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he could pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came to tell their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he could pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So here we see Jesus says, forgive 70 times 7 times. So that's actually 490. But the point was not to count 490, keep a book and log it. It means that you can't really keep count, because once you cannot keep count with your fingers and toes, don't keep count, basically. The thing is about unlimited forgiveness. Just keep forgiving. Jesus is telling him, do not keep count. Just keep forgiving. So what then Jesus tells is often known as the parable of the unforgiving servant. But it should really be called the parable of the forgiving Father, as in Father God. The debt, they say, is 10,000 talents. One talent is supposed to be about 6,000 denarii. And in those days, the average wage of a servant is one denarius a day, okay? So the debt of 60 million denarii, okay, 60 million days, that's about more than 164,000 years. That is definitely more than 164. That's lots and lots of lifetime. Basically, it's the parable is saying this servant has an unpayable debt. He can never pay back his master. He cannot repay it. And the servant, so he plead for mercy, and the master had compassion and grace for his for the servant. So the servant received forgiveness. Forgiveness in the sense is that the debt was cancelled. So when a loan is forgiven, it is cancelled. So he had grace, the master had grace. That is to get what we do not deserve. And the master had mercy on the servant. That is not giving us something that we do deserve. And likewise, our debt to God is also an unpayable debt. We have all sinned, every one of us. So from Romans 6:23, we know that the wages of sin is death. And the servant then cries for mercy. If we also, like the servant, cries for mercy and receive forgiveness, it shows that if we cry for mercy, God will also extend his compassion and grace to forgive our debt. So the parable illustrates God's forgiveness. That's how much God has forgiven us. Forgive an unforgivable debt. He forgives us because of what Christ has done on the cross. Christ, Jesus Christ, bore our debt on the cross. He bore our sins on the cross. And he bore our wages of our sins on the cross. So, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So by what Christ has done, we have eternal life. And then he bore our sins on the cross. The next one, thanks. So we see, like, whatever it is that we have sinned in a way, whether it's quarreling with others, having that selfishness in our heart, hatred for others, or we taking what does not belong to us, or coveting, all those sins Christ bore on the cross. And it's because he bore that on the cross that because sin separates us from the Father, because our sins are upon him. It separated him from the Father. So Jesus paid a high price. That's why on the cross he cried, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" Because our sins have separated him from God. Our sins have made him unable to access God. Mm-hmm. At that point where he bore our sins. But the thing is that from the parable, we can see that servant did not understand how much his debt was. He says, "Master, have patience on me and I will repay you your debt." He, even if he worked till the end of his life and his children work to at the end of their life, they cannot repay that debt. So the master did not really understand how much he owed the father, his master. The servant did not understand how much he owed the master. And because he did not understand, he did not really understand the forgiveness he has received from the master. He did not appreciate the forgiveness from the master because he thought that, oh yeah, I can do it. I can pay it back. I can do it in my own strength. I'll be able to work this out. So the parable also goes on and says that the first servant went out and found another servant. So he actually deliberately go and find this other servant and says, look, pay me back. And that was only 100 denarii. So if you remember from the passage, so that's actually under a year's wage. So that servant could have paid him back if he let him work, but he did not. Because he could not understand and he could not appreciate compassion and forgiveness. He had not compassion and he was not able to forgive. And he threw his fellow servant into the prison. To the master, if the servant did not understand forgiveness, it is as if it did not happen. So it's as if the master didn't really forgive him as far as the servant is concerned. That's how the master saw it. And so this master decided, I'll let it be as such. He threw the servant. So that is means that as if the forgiveness did not happen, he threw the servant back into prison. So forgiveness, today we're going to look at, today we're going to need to, I'd like us to answer the question of who, or if we still have anybody in our chamber of unforgiveness right now. Maybe it'll be a friend that betrayed you, your sacred trust. Okay. For example, Peter betrayed Jesus, a friend that left you when you were in need, abusive parents that may have beat you when you were young, or some that I encounter, they've been sexually abused by their family, or an unfaithful spouse, or a rebellious child. Or maybe you have a very devious workmate that you just cannot work along with because everything that you do, he'll point and accuse you of doing something wrong at work. Or maybe you have a scheming business partner. Or something very traumatic happened to you, an incident. Or maybe even an accident that maybe have left some people in pain, that is a pain for a lifetime, and they could not forgive the person that have hurt them. Or maybe your pastors or other pastors have hurt you and have failed you and you have left there and you move along to here. Do you still have unforgiveness? Do you still have them in that chamber of unforgiveness? So if you notice, I said chamber of unforgiveness is like a prison. But then in keeping them there, you also lock yourself in a way. So as I speak to you, does any names or faces come to your mind? You may be thinking in your mind and heart, Angela, you do not understand. You don't know what they said to you, as in said to me. You don't know what they did. You don't know the hurt, the pain, the sorrow, the anguish. And you are right. I do not know. I cannot really understand. And I probably cannot begin to comprehend. Because I have not fully been in your circumstance. But the thing is, I can tell you with full confidence that God, that Jesus, can fully understand. He was there when it happened. He knows exactly what you went through. Jesus experienced also all that you probably went through as he saw you in pain. But he himself was also rejected by his very loved ones, by his fellow disciples, by his father when he was on the cross. And more, and much more. The physical pain, the emotional pain, the betrayal, abandonment by almost everyone. Everyone that were following him, that were close to him. No, we are forgiven to forgive. It is our choice to forgive. Someone says, unforgiveness is like drinking a cup of poison, hoping that the person's die. So you drink a cup of poison, okay? I have. And then you wish that so-and-so dies instead because that's the person that you hated, that's the person you do not forgive. So you drink it, but then you're hoping that the other person dies. But we all know that, of course, it's the person that drinks the poison that gets poisoned. So I learned it in a Christian context But I also recently hear quite a lot in non-Christian contexts, as in non-Christian people in their talks talking about it, that people told me about it. So even the world knows that unforgiveness is foolishness. Even the world knows that it's foolishness. So how much more that we who are Christians should be wise in the Lord and know that no, we shouldn't be foolish and participate in that. To drink the poison and expecting that someone else would die. I'm going to do a short little drama. I've already asked Sunny for permission to be my... Okay. So I think we'll go on the stage. It's easier for everyone to see. Sunny, can you invite us? That's why I didn't ask permission to see it. So if you have time to greet someone, you hold them down. End result is that you yourself, when you hold the person down and refuse to let them go, you have to be in that position for a very long time. You have to struggle and just be there as well. You're never released to go off and enjoy other things in life. You're never really going off the venture. The good things that God has in store for you, you're always in that position to hold the person down. So in that sense, we also lock ourselves into that position. We lock ourselves into that so-called chamber, that prison, when we are holding somebody else down. So are you also in prison, along in the chamber of unforgiveness, by locking somebody else in there? But forgiveness, ultimately, is not about them, the person that you're forgiving. It's about setting ourselves free. It's not saying that everything that has happened is okay. It's not denying our anger or our feelings. We had those things. We need to process them through with the Lord, release them to God, seek for His forgiveness that we had been really, really angry, and process them through with the Lord. Let the Lord heal us. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's not like when I feel it, I'll forgive the person. It is not erasing the past as if it didn't happen, because it did happen. Forgiveness is giving up our desire for revenge, our desire for retaliation over the God. So at the end, if I say, Sunny, you can go now, I let the person go. So it means that I release the person to God. I'm not going to hold him down, and I also move on in life. I get to enjoy whatever else that God has in store for me. I'm not wasting my life struggling with the unforgiveness and holding the person down, wishing bad things happen to the person. It is also putting an end to pointing the finger at somebody else. Because sometimes our life is shaped by the person that have hurt us. We may be a more angry person because of certain things that's happened to us. Some people who have been, sexually abused, maybe... maybe an angry person because of all the hurts that has been in them. And then we just keep on pointing back to, this is what has happened to me, and therefore I'm like that. It's actually stop pointing that finger and then stepping in faith to be the person that God has made you to be. Because when we have unforgiveness, we're denying that we have a part in our own healing. Okay, that only that person, when the person pays for that price, then I can have the healing. But then the thing is that if we are able to release a person and move on, we can have that healing too. It's saying, yes, I've been hurt. Someone has sinned against me, but I'm going to take ownership. I'm going to take responsibility of what I do in response. Forgive the person, move on in life, and let God transform us. I'm no longer going to blame my actions on what has happened to me in the past. I will choose to forgive. It won't define me, and I'll receive God's healing and choose to live as the Spirit's live. When we refuse to forgive, we'll continue that cycle of behavior because of our unforgiveness. So how do we receive, how do we forgive someone else? Recognize that forgiveness is a choice. Ask Jesus to help you. Acknowledge the hurts and the pain. Keep on forgiving. It's a process. Process the emotions. I was at Elijah House, but a few months before that, I picked up that, well, then it's also been conveyed with me because of the fact that I am a person that blocks out emotion. So I'm still working out what has caused that. But the thing is that in blocking out emotions, I also, not only that, I also block out bad memories. Because you asked me, I have very few bad memories. I really have lots of happy memories, but very few bad memories. But the thing is that the person said, oh, don't you find that bad? But to me, the things that happened, I don't feel bad. But then being or like a mom having to struggle to raise us up as a single mother, there are things that has happened. And for me, I said, oh, no, I don't feel bad. But the thing is that the lady was trying to tell me, if that happened to someone else, how do you feel? I said, oh, yeah, that's quite sad for that person. But the thing is that for me, I block out certain emotions. And for me, part of my journey in forgiveness, I had to deal with some of these emotions coming back. Yeah. But then the thing is that that's God's healing process. And I'll probably be able to relate to people's pain better. And it did. At the discipleship training week with the youth. So one of the girls had been abused many times, sexually abused. So, so I was able to, listen through. Else I'll probably be quite stone when she tells me things. I was able to comfort her. I was able to tell her, no, she is not unworthy. She is not what people say she is. She's not like a slut. Because some people, she says that people that around her tell her she is a slut. But that's not true. Those are not true. I was able to tell her that, no, God loves her. That God created her. That she is a child of God. Because I begin to be able to relate to people more emotionally and recognize their pain. Because in the past, I probably was thinking, toughen up, don't be a wuss. That's how I probably am in the past. So ask God for help to be willing to forgive and help bring you to the point to forgive someone else if you are struggling it. Acknowledge. It's just the first step to acknowledge that, you have someone else that you cannot forgive. Maybe you have already forgiven a lot of people, but maybe there's one or two people that you just can't acknowledge it. Ask God for help. And that's where, we can only really come to forgive some of the things that people have done to us when we have that encounter of God's forgiveness. How much God has forgiven us. That's why, when I was looking at the parable, that servant did not really, really understand how much his master has forgiven him. That's why he thought, hey, I'll pay you back. Just give me time. But he couldn't pay him back. That's the truth. You know when it's done, you'll be able to think about that person and it does not affect you anymore. It doesn't make your heart hurt. It doesn't give you, you won't be angry when you think about the person or in pain, or you won't avoid thinking or talking about the person. Like me, when I was, as I mentioned, for a long time, did not acknowledge that I didn't forgive my father because I said, I don't have hate for him. But the thing is, I really was indifferent about him and I did definitely avoid him. My mom asked me to SMS him when it's his birthday. I said, oh, do I really have to? So that's actually a sign. but then I didn't realize it and I didn't acknowledge it for a long time. Because I thought, I don't feel any hate for him when I think about him. Yeah. So our sins, Jesus died for all our sins. God forgave all our sins. The only unforgivable ones is... only unforgivable one is, those that we do not bring before Him and ask for His forgiveness. Because in 1 John 1:9, it says that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us and forgive us of our sins. Okay, so we looked at, so forgiveness comes from where the cross, coming to learn from Christ, how Christ has forgiven us. And others, if others, sometimes I notice, yeah, I think it's true for most, that it's those that you trust the most and actually those that you love that actually are those that hurt you the most. Not because those are the, because they have the potential, because you trust them completely and you open up that they hurt you. And sometimes it may be even minor things, they can, it hurts because you really love them. And because of things we may have made vows that lock ourselves in due to our hurts, those people that we find awful feeling when we think about them, those are some others that you may want to forgive. Or yourself. Have you forgiven yourself? Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is yourself because you know what you have done. It sometimes keeps on bugging you, and then you know sometimes also that what scars you have left on yourself, the cost of your own sin upon yourself. You may, and sometimes it's not your fault. Maybe people that who are abused, they say, "I don't know why she couldn't cry out. She couldn't. She's just in shock. She couldn't." Because like people came, and she just couldn't even cry out, and she was frozen. But I told her, because you're in trauma, you're in shock, you couldn't. Don't blame yourself. And that will be some of the facts of what we have to process, or for her to process. And some people have to process that you have to forgive yourself. It's not your fault. Yeah. And God. So some of us, the things that we went through, we may feel, God, why weren't you there? Why didn't you stop it? So in the discipleship training week, I was given the opportunity to teach about quiet time. And one of the points that I teach about quiet time is that the first one is it needs to flow out of a relationship with God. And for that quiet time, so it's not just a time where you read the Bible and you gather information and you learn some points to apply. It is about a relationship. But in order for that to happen, first you need to be a child. And then the next thing you need to know is that God really loves you. The question is, I asked them was, do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that God loves you a lot? And I did a little drama, and the person that did the drama with me says, yeah, he believed. After that, one of the small group members told me she's been a, because she's an orphan in orphanage, so she told me that look, since young she'll come up to stage and share testimonies, give a bit of talk about Bible things, but she has stopped for many years because the thing is that she doesn't believe that God loves her. But that's the same person that who was abused, because how could I believe that God loves me if she's been through all that? How could she possibly believe all that? That God loves her to, and still allow all that to happen? Not once, but many times. So I have nothing to say, but I can only pray for her. So I assured her that God loves her, and I prayed for her. And then at the end of our, because it's just a one-week thing, discipleship training week, on that Thursday, so we prayed through things, we talked through things over that 1 week. And then she says, because we shared various things. I shared some 139 with her. I shared the Father's love letter with her during our small group time. And at the end of the week, in the evening, she says, you know, I think I had a breakthrough. I'm beginning to believe that God loves me. I believe that God, I think she says for the first time she believed that God loves her. So I say, praise God, because that's the most important thing. Most important thing that you need to know first is that God loves you. You don't have to be, because she helps out at the orphanage, serve in various things. But all those things are meaningless, even if you serve at church or anything, because she is in a church. The first thing you need to know is that God loves you. And on the day of your wounding, God saw what has happened to you, but He also saw the day of your healing. He saw the day that you will be able to rejoice. And that girl says, she says, I think that, as in for her, not me, I think that, you know, God allowed all that, but I think that now I see that I can be able to she can share her testimony and to share with those that have been through her own journey and bring them through a healing journey. And that God allowed it for her to use her in that way to bring others through that journey. In your pain, have you shut down? And in shutting down, shut God out. Because God may be saying, you're shutting me out because you have shut down and shut him out. So Jesus knows your pain and he alone can provide a way out. So I'd like to invite you all to pray a prayer for forgiveness of others and yourself. If you all have someone in mind that you want to forgive. So maybe you can take half a minute or a minute, and if any names pop in your mind, then we can, we just read through that prayer silently. You can read it through. Yeah, I'll just give you half a minute first. If God puts anyone or the Holy Spirit put anyone in your heart that you ought to forgive. I'm going to read out the prayer with all of us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying that I might be forgiven. I now choose to forgive from my heart and release from my judgments all those who have ever hurt me or offended me. And you can begin to name on your lips silently anyone that you feel led to forgive. And you can even name on your lips silently anything that they have specifically done to you that really hurt you that you want to forgive them of. Father, I confess my sins to you. Sins of bitterness, resentment, anger, or any other sins that you want to list. Please forgive me of these sins and cleanse me by your blood. Father God, I ask for your forgiveness for anything that I have wrongly blamed you for in my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, thank you. So now we will have communion led by the Thursday group.
Amen, amen. I think what we will do is, if I can have the ushers come and distribute the emblems, if I can have the worship team come out, and I think we will just sing one song, My Jesus, I Love Thee, but we'll sing it at the end. And if the Thursday group, though not everyone wants to come out, some feel not a bit shy. So those of the Thursday group who wants to come out and just say a word or two, do you want to come out, please? Come and just stand with me. Yeah. Molly Han, yeah? Who else? Ruth? Yeah, whoever, yeah? And Jenny, yeah? And if you can come out and actually, if the ushers can put the, yeah. Can I change my mind? Can we sing "Thank You for the Cross, Lord"? And can I have the words? Do we have the "Thank You for the Cross"? lyric. It should be there, yeah, in the worship lyric. Yeah, yeah. Stand with me, next to me. Yeah, yeah. And if the ushers can put the cups in here, yeah, oh, yeah, it won't fall down. I don't think it'll fall down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's for us. Yes, yes, yeah. We have Thursday morning group meeting when we share our life together and we walk together. Lady, do you want to come out as well? You are founding member. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, you are in heart with us. Yeah. So what I said is, how about we share a little bit from our hearts, each one, what the cross of Jesus means to us as we take the cup, the blood of Jesus, as he take his body, the bread. What does it mean to each of us? Bible says, older women teach the younger women. I'm the youngest among here. And I teach Bible study. But what actually happens is that as we share, I learn from the sharing of these mothers' lives. When they share from their life, oh my goodness, I learn. And it's learning not because something is given here, but learning in here. So I am so grateful. I'm so grateful that God has given me mothers from whom I learn life. I learn how to walk. I learn how to live. And I'm so privileged. I want to just thank the ladies and others who walk with me, that I am so honored. And God has given me such blessing. So we're going to sing after we share. And I'll pray a little bit. And then we'll sing, "Thank You for the Cross." If you remain seated, it's okay, because we got the cup and the bread. So I'm going to start with Molly. Say something, yeah, to share your heart for Jesus about the cross, yeah?
Each time I come to the table to take the Lord's Supper, every time I take the emblem of the bread and the cup, which speaks of his blood that was shed for us, I feel that, and I know, the Lord's sacrifice, his agony, his torment, started right from the Garden of Gethsemane, where he had to make the choice of whether to take the cup or not. And it was so difficult for him when he told Abba Father, "Take the cup away from me, but not as my will, but your will, Father." And he sweated drops of blood on the ground. And I remember, Lord, what you go through, the pain, the suffering. The torment started at the Garden of Gethsemane, right up to the cross. And I thank you, Lord, for what you have gone through for me. Thank you, Jesus.
When when I think of the cross, I am forever grateful to what Jesus has done for us. I remember his blood is forever powerful. And I remember the verse that said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, what a privilege to be a child of God because of the blood of Jesus that has been shed on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The cross speaks of Jesus' amazing grace, amazing love. It's nothing that we deserve, but he has done it all for us. The blood represents the front of the cross because he was pierced, he shed his blood. And without that blood, we can never enter into the presence of the Holy God. It's only his blood that covers our sins, that qualifies us to enter his presence. So I'm so thankful that covered by the blood, the Bible says, we can come boldly before the throne of grace, where we can receive mercy and we can find grace. And the back of the cross is where he suffered the stripes. The stripes that the Bible says in the book of Peter says is by those stripes we have been healed. He has done everything needed for our healing, body, spirit, soul, and we need to just receive because it is all done for us. So don't just receive one half. Some people only receive forgiveness and say, okay, I'm safe because of Jesus dying on the cross. But receive also the back of the cross, which speaks of healing. Body, spirit, soul, mind, every part of us is healed because he suffered those 39 stripes on his back. And it was all done out of love.
Father God, I give thanks to you for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus, to me to grant me new life, life abundant. Dear Lord Jesus, I give thanks to you for taking all my sins, my shame, my sickness, my disease, my sins unto your cross. Dear Lord, you suffered for me. I thank you, Lord, that on your cross that you have, that your blood covenant has cleansed me from all sins, that my sins are forgiven. I give thanks to you, dear Lord, and your body is broken for me, that my body is resurrected, healed, restored, and made whole. Dear Lord Jesus, I give thanks to you for all that you have done for my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Father God, I give thanks to you for sending your Son to me. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hello, can you... Before we take the cup and the drink, we'll sing "Thank You for the Cross." But I have this sense in my heart. I don't know how many, but at least one person who's got self hatred. I just sense that someone here has self hatred, self rejection. Some things may have happened to you. Some people who should not have done some things have done those things to you. Some people may have betrayed you, and I feel that someone here is not only angry at them, but maybe angry at yourself, and turned that hatred against yourself and rejection against yourself. That you're so stupid. You let it happen to you. You're so dumb that somebody did that to you. There's a certain self-hatred, you know. And I think the Lord wants to come and heal your heart and cleanse your heart so you can be free from the self-hatred and self-rejection. I just take one more minute to tell a little testimony so that you may it'll help you. Some of our problem is that Paul was saying to me the other day, we are far more sinful than we realize. And that's the truth. That's why we don't know how much we are forgiven. And we are far more loved than we can imagine. So it's a great grace when the Lord puts a searchlight on our heart, reveals our sin, reveals our sinfulness. There's a freedom that comes from the spirit of repentance, humility that's given to us. When the repentance is granted to us and we see the magnitude of our sin, then we understand the magnitude of his forgiveness. and it's cleansing, the power of His blood. But often we don't understand how the magnitude of our sin. We only look at how the bigness of other people's sin, but not our sin. And that actually traps us in unforgiveness very often. I'll just tell you a little story in case this will help you. I shared a long time ago in a group. I heard about this testimony of a Japanese man, a father, normal father. He's got wife, three sons. I think it happened about 30, 40 years ago. Normal family. He came home and watching TV with his sons. And for whatever reason, this father blacked out. Time was lost on him. And when he came to, he found himself on top of one of his sons. And he had a psychotic something happen to him. And he had strangled his very own son to death. And obviously, there was a court case, and he was taken to court, and all these things. And in the court, the judges didn't know what to do with him because he kept saying, "I don't deserve forgiveness. I don't kill me, but don't just kill me easy. Make me suffer. Torture me in the most torturous way. Don't let me die easy." You can understand, yeah. Any parent can understand. And but he was sent to jail. I'm not sure how many. He wasn't given a big sentence because it was obvious he was in pain. It was a psychotic event. It was, you know. And in prison, when he was in prison, hating himself, somebody told him about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that's in him. For all our sins and all our righteousness, all our failures. And that father who couldn't forgive himself when he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that's in the Son of God, in the cross, he wept and he broke down and he could finally release himself, forgive himself. I want to tell you the story so that we... And he returned to the family. Yeah, he was released from the prison, returned to the family, and he could live his normal life. Family received him back, and he was restored to the family, and he could go on with his life by the grace of God in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Yeah, even though that's a dramatic story, I don't think our story is that different. We just don't know the magnitude of our sinfulness. That's all we don't know. And we don't know the magnitude of God's love for you. We don't know. But little we know, we live by it today. So today, if you are caught in self-rejection, self-hatred, because something that happened to you, betrayals, or something you did, whatever it may be, as we take the communion cup, Jesus said, "This is my blood." He doesn't say it represents my blood. He doesn't say it's a symbol of my blood. No, Jesus said, "This is my blood." And we take it at His word, yeah? "This is my blood. This is my body. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for your forgiveness of your sins." Forgiveness of your sins and mine. This is a new covenant He has made in His blood. Power. We will one day hopefully understand the power of the blood of Jesus. But what little we understand today, Lord, we say, "Lord, receive." We receive. And Lord, help us to have a greater, deeper revelation of the power of Your blood. Power of the blood of Your Son to forgive us, heal us. Deliver us. Free us. Free us to be the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Without shame, without guilt, without anything holding us back. The power of the blood of Jesus frees you from all sin, all condemnation, all accusation. You bring it to the Lord. It's forgiven. You bring your sins to the Lord. It's forgiven. Nobody can argue. You've been sentenced to life. And there's no refund. you've been sentenced to life eternal, and there's no refund, no going back. You're received and accepted, and you're beloved. And that's why Christ Jesus came and died for you. You're that special and important to Him. And He will not. Alternative is unthinkable to Jesus. You gotta know. Any alternative other than receiving you and saving you, forgiving you, and have you to Himself for all eternity. Any other alternative is unthinkable, unbearable to Jesus. And He, that which God has, Father has given into the hands of Jesus, nothing and no one can snatch out of His hand. That's what Jesus said. So, how about we sing? We can stay seated. How about, can the worship team lead us in the thank you for the cross, Lord? Yeah, we'll sing that first. We can move a little bit away so we can see the screen, yeah. If you want to stand, stand, but feel free to sit, whatever is comfortable.
Wash me. Pray after me. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. I am forgiven, washed, cleansed, made holy. Lord, I hold nothing against myself. I release myself into your grace. I am accepted in the Beloved. Thank you for your sacrifice. I stand on your righteousness. Do to me according to your love. All that is according to your grace, that I may receive what I don't deserve. Your love and mercy and righteousness. Life everlasting in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Bless you. If you actually want some prayer, you can just come, and Mia and we are here. Otherwise, just remember, we are forgiven, loved, and empowered by God. Amen. It's a tea and coffee. Hang around for fellowship. Thank you. Bless you.
There's a form behind. I prepared a newsletter, but I haven't got things all ready. So yeah, if you would like to give me your email or contact. Yes, you can fill in the form behind. Okay, thank you very much.
Sunny holds the form. Sunny has the form. If you want to receive newsletters and so on, yeah, just for Angela, sign up there.
Thank you.